and reading the scriptures, we can find out the way of salvation, how we can know peace with God and have eternal life, and know that when life ends, we will go to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to go over to the book of Luke, and we'll look there in chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. My grandpa, years ago at a gospel meeting, he said these words. He says, "Show me a true Christian who repents of receiving Christ as a Savior." Show me a true Christian. A true Christian. Not one that you're questioning. A true Christian that you know. That would repent of the day that he received Christ as his Savior. And you know what? I don't think you'll find one. There's none there. Because what God is offering, how he's offering eternal life and peace with him, and offering eternal dwelling with him, what more can we ask for? And it's all not because of us. It's not because of what we have done. It's because of what he did there on the cross of Calvary, where he gave his life for us. Now, normally I speak in Spanish at most of the meetings that I'm at. I'm in English. So if you hear me stuttering a little bit, you'll understand I'm not too accustomed to the change yet. But we'll come around slowly. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read about some things that happened suddenly. Luke chapter 2, and we'll read there verse 13. And this was on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, and suddenly, it says, there was an angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And here we have the first thing, and it's happening suddenly. You know, when something happens suddenly, it's not that you're waiting for it. It's not that you can look forward to it. It happens suddenly. It's kind of out of the ordinary. And here our Lord Jesus Christ, he had been born in Bethlehem. And the angel was to let those shepherds know that Jesus had born it, and he came to where the shepherds were. And he spoke to the shepherds and let them know that in Bethlehem, Jesus was born. Jesus, the Son of God, was born. And there was joy, there was happiness. And the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward man." There was happiness and joy. And this is the message that we have about a Savior that was born. Why is this message important to us? Because he took upon him the form of man. He became like you. He became like me. Form of man. And being in the form of man, he can now take our place and suffer in our stead. You know, if he hadn't taken on the form of man, he would never be able to die for man. But being that he took on the form of man, and the angels, they rejoiced knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ had been born. And they said, "Glory to God in the highest." There was, and on earth, peace. So we have joy at the beginning, but it happened suddenly. Now let's go over to Acts chapter 4, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And we'll read there verse 3. Now here's another thing that happens suddenly. It's kind of like the gospel message you're receiving tonight. It's coming suddenly. You're hearing it maybe for the first time. Maybe you haven't heard the gospel before. And you come out and you're listening and it's something new to you. It's something that you haven't been able to understand and been able to listen to in days gone by. So here we got Paul, the apostle, the Saul that became the apostle Paul, and he, in verse 3 it says, and as he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he says, what wilt thou have me to do? So here's another thing that happened suddenly. And here's a man, and he's going against the will of God. He's going against God's purposes. He was taking the Christians, and some of them, he was seeing them stoned, and their lives were taken away. And the Lord speaks to Saul, and he suddenly comes with the words, and he says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? A personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Something he had never had before. He had religion. He had religion up to the crown of his head. But he didn't have Christ. And here's a man that knew the doctrine of the Pharisee. He was well versed. But a man who had never had an encounter with the person of the Lord Jesus. And this man, God spoke to him, or the Lord spoke to him from heaven, and he says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he says in verse 6, he says, and he trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? What a change. And what? He had had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood that the one who he was speaking to was the one that died on the cross. He understood that the one he was speaking to is the one that was buried and 3 days later rose from the dead. And he says, who art thou, Lord? The Lord says, I am Jesus. He says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutors. He had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard the voice, Saul, Saul. We hope that you hear God's voice speaking to your heart. This is what we hope. You not hear our voice, but hear God's voice. He's speaking, and he wants you to understand that he's offering you salvation through a finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now we'll go over to chapter 16. So we have, at the birth of the Lord Jesus, suddenly there was a multitude of angels. Then we have when Saul comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says that he was, suddenly he came and heard the Lord and said, Lord, what will thou hast me to do? Acts chapter 16. And reading there at verse 26, it says, and suddenly, we're back to the suddenly again. And suddenly, he says, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and every one of the bands of the soldier, of those that were incarcerated were loose. What happened? Once again, this is God speaking. And he's speaking from heaven. And what's he using? He's using an earthquake. There's two men in the prison. That is Paul and Silas, and they're in stocks, and they've been beaten, and they're in the bottom cell of the prison there. And there comes an earthquake. An earthquake can really shake things up. It can do some very heavy damage. And here we have the earthquake. You know, in El Salvador, it's kind of interesting. Today is the 10th of October. And if you look back in the history of El Salvador, it was the 10th of October of 1986 that we had our first earthquake in El Salvador. And it's when a lot of people were killed and died it was 7.5 on the Richter scale. And there were over 1,500 people that were killed instantly. I remember going out into town and you would find people and they're taking the bodies out onto the street and they had not enough coffins to bury them. And many of them were just put into mass graves because they just couldn't keep up with the amount of people that had died in that earthquake. There was over 10,000 people injured and 200,000 people that were homeless. All in an earthquake. All so suddenly, it just happens. And here in the earthquake, we have the doors are shaken there of the jail. And the jailer's inside and he's sleeping. And all of a sudden, the earth starts shaking. If there's anything that brings you to reality is to be in a real earthquake. Because you see how close to death you are. I remember going in and going into one of the buildings that were destroyed by that earthquake in 86. And one of the buildings was called the Edificio Darillo. And in the front of the building was a huge theater where they would go to watch movies. And there was maybe 500 people inside the theater. And the theater and everything came right down. And there were 6 stories of concrete on the top that came on top of that theater where they were watching the movie. Everybody in there, they thought they were okay. They didn't see any need to look for an emergency they were enjoying themselves at the movie. But God speaks. And he spoke to them and a lot of them didn't have a chance to get out. It was interesting on the Edificio Darío, there was 5 stories on the top and there were 2 stories underground and the stories underground stayed together and they were able to get the people, the ones that were still alive out of the underground part of the Darío building just because of the way the building had come down. But here we have a man and here we have an earthquake. And what does this man start to do? He finds Paul and Silas and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" Now that's the most important question there is. That's the most important question. What must I do to be saved? Have you asked that question? Have you got alone with God and asked God, "God, what must I do to be saved?" He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be in heaven with Him. But you need to ask Him what you need to do. You know the answer, we have it right here. When they said in verse 31, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." You notice it doesn't say anything about going to church. It doesn't say anything about reading your Bible. It doesn't say anything about trying to behave or giving of of your wealth to a certain church. It doesn't say anything of that. Why? Because God's way of salvation is one way. And the way he saved this man is the same way he can save you today. It's the same way. God hasn't changed his way. And they asked this man, this jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? You know, he was about ready to take his sword and kill himself. Why? Because he thought all the prisoners that were in the jail had all fled. And he knew that if they had fled, his life would be taken no matter what. So might as well take my own life. But you know, if that man, that jailer would have taken his own life, that would have been the end of it. There was no more hope for that jailer had he taken his life. But there was hope. And he asked the two men who could give him an answer, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Simple, but it's God's way of salvation. What do I have to believe? I have to believe, you can see the door there. There's Jesus, and he's given his life for us. He paid the price. I have to believe that he took my place there on the cross. He paid for my sins. You know, there were 3 hours of darkness when Jesus was on the cross. 3 hours. Jesus was on the cross a total of 6 hours. 3 of those hours he was in darkness, total darkness. Where he... Now remember, he said, I'm the light of the world. But he's in darkness. Why? Because he's taking my place. I was the one who was in darkness. I was the one that was far from him. We have this jailer. He was far from God. But now we have a door and it's open. You notice you don't even have to open the door. It's already open. God is waiting for you to answer. He's waiting for you to accept his invitation. And what is his invitation? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know, the jailer believed, and it happened all of a sudden. He wasn't really expecting it at that moment. He was expecting to die. And what did he receive? Instead of dying, he received life, and a new life. So we have that this man suddenly comes to know the Lord Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now we'll go over to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. And we'll read there at verse 35. And I want you to watch again. We're going to see that word watch. He says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. When's he coming? He doesn't say. He's coming. The master of the house is coming. Our Lord's coming back, and he's going to take us to be with him. But he doesn't tell us when he's coming. He says it might be at even, you know, at 6 p.m. Or it might be at midnight. It's midnight, 12 o'clock at night. Or it might be at the cock crowing, maybe at 5 a.m. He says that the crowing of the cock or in the morning. And then he says, lest coming suddenly. So we have, he's coming back suddenly. And what does he find? He finds you sleeping. And what shall I say unto you? All watch. The Lord wants us to be waiting for His return. That's what He wants us to do. Be ready, be watching, be waiting. We don't know when He's coming back. He doesn't tell us when He's coming back. He said it might be at the even, it might be at midnight, it might be at the crowing of the cock. But He says one thing sure. He says it's going to happen. Jesus will return. We look around us and we can see that the days of His returning are getting closer. Just things that are happening, things that are happening around the world. And even look at the coins, and El Salvador's been one of the first countries to recognize Bitcoin as a legal amount, a legal form of tender. And just even watching some of the men that are involved and how this is just building itself up and getting to something so big that it might completely surround the globe. One leader, one coin. We can see His return is close. We are waiting for Him to come back. We don't know when, but He will return. He says, it could be, but lest He come suddenly and find you sleeping. You know, if you look up about those 10 virgins that were waiting for the, all 10 of them were sleeping. None of them were awake. None of them were waiting. And that's what He's saying is He doesn't want anybody to not think that it coming is close. He says, lest His coming suddenly find you sleeping. Those who are sleeping are not prepared. Those who are sleeping are those who will stay behind. Those who are sleeping are those who haven't come to know Christ as Savior. So don't be amongst those that are sleeping. That's why He says tonight, He says, you know, you need to fix your account with God. He might come. Suddenly, we'll go over to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. In the book, we're going through Rosario, through the book of Proverbs. And we're just to the chapter 29 now. So we've gone through each chapter of Proverbs with the Christians in El Rosario where we are. But I'd like to go to chapter 29 and just read the first verse there. It says, and he, being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, and shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Here again, suddenly. What's going to happen suddenly? Death could come suddenly. And what happens if death should come suddenly? Well, if you've received Christ as your Savior, you know that if death comes, you're going to be with Him. But if you haven't entered through the door, if you haven't found Christ as your Savior, and death comes, it terminates your hope of being saved. You can no longer be saved. Once you cross over death's column there. There's no hope afterwards. 1 second after crossing over the column of death, What about your soul? I was talking to Tony Flett yesterday, and he was telling me he got very close to death. Very close to death. For him, well, he would go to be with his Heavenly Father, who he was able to receive at a young age and go on for, and live for him. But if you aren't saved, if you aren't saved. There was a young girl in El Salvador. Her name was Beatriz. And Beatriz was, she studied, well, for, we got to know Beatriz because we started doing meetings in their home. It was, there was the three kids and the mom and the dad. And we would go to the house and have meetings with them. And we used the two roach chart, and we would talk to them about the Savior and how he's offering salvation. And we had a real closeness with them to tell them the gospel. And they were very receptive. They would listen but never come to a spot of understanding and entering through the door. There was always something that's seemed like it was there that you never heard of a response from their hearts of, I need to receive Christ as my Savior. And I remember we got to COVID in the first months of COVID, and Beatriz was one of the doctors, and she had to work at the hospital almost 24-hour shifts. They would let them go off from the hospital to there was a president's house that he made into a building where the doctors could rest for a few hours between their patients that they had. And Beatriz, had gone to this house of rest, and then the next morning she was back up again and trying to help those that had the COVID virus. And it was maybe 2 weeks later that we heard that Beatriz had passed away. And it was very sad because we had never heard of Beatriz receiving Christ as her Savior. She had knew the way of salvation. We had brought her into to understand what God had done and how Christ had, and we tried to present the love of God to her and the work of Christ on the cross, but it never, that we know of, she never received it into her heart. And so when we heard that she had passed away, of course, there was a lot of pain in our hearts because we knew who she was and we'd worked with her and we'd brought the gospel to her. But it was sad for me to see the casket, and we couldn't even go in to be with the casket because those who had COVID during that time, they kind of put them off to one side, and the people couldn't even get close to them. And where when they were buried in a certain section of the cemetery of all the ones that had COVID, and you couldn't even get in there. Suddenly death came. And he wants you to be ready. He wants you to be ready. He says, suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. Without hope. May the Lord bless his word to you.